So we got to around eight, nine lines down, the two dots right after the parentheses. So the Gemara had earlier, Mishnah, the Brisa rather, had mentioned a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. They both listed the orders of the different measurements in the base of Mikdash, but it was a different order. One was going from top to bottom, one was bottom to top. So what's nafka mina from lamala lamata lamata lamala? So Gemara asks, Ma'ika ben Ayu, what's the difference? Ma'ika ben Rabbi Meir le Rabbi Yehuda. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Beirutse Midos Ike ben Ayu. Beirutse Midos is the additional overflow of the Midos, whether that's going to be considered Kadosh or not. So the Gemara explains, Leman de Amar Mimata Lamala, the one who counts from bottom, the lowest measurement, to the higher ones. Kesaver Beirutse Midos Niskachu, they hold that the overflow is going to be Kadosh as well. So the Revius Moshe was given from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu the shear of a Revius. That was the Stam Revius log. Amar Le, and Hashem says to Moshe, Shire, now I want you to use a measurement to create a Chatzi log, so do two Revius. So what happens? The Kamay Lele Beirutsim. So what happens is a person takes a Revius, he throws it into a larger container, and there's another Revius into a larger container. That the larger container catches all the shear that were in the smaller one. And therefore, it's considered as if you're including the overflow. Let's look at the contrast before we really appreciate what's going on here. But Laman Damar Mimal Lamata, the one that starts with the higher shear and works down to a lower shear, Kesaver Beirutse Midos Lo Niskachu, the overflow of the Midos that are above the measuring cup is not Niskadish. Why? Hin Yav Le Rachmana, the Moshe. Hashem gave Moshe the largest shear, the shear of a hin. And Amrele Shar Baha, he said, I want you to now measure smaller. So when you take a bigger one, a bigger kli, pouring it into a smaller shear, what's going to happen is all the overflow is going to spill out of the kli, and therefore it's not going to include the Beirutse Midos, the Kanafki Beirutse, and it's all going out. So again, when you're starting with a smaller shear into a bigger shearum, so you take everything here and all of the overflow and you pour it in, and everything's going to be caught, and even the overflow will be caught. But when you're starting from a bigger shear and pouring to a smaller one, so things are going to overflow out of the smaller one and you're going to lose those. And that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and whether or not the Beirutse, the overflow of that midah, will be considered niskadesh or niskadesh. And that is going to be indicated by how they listed the order of the midahs from bottom to top or from top to bottom. That's the first understanding of this machlokas. Comes along now Abaye. Abaye Amar Abaye says, everyone agrees that Beirutse Midos Ikalameimar Niskacho Ikalameimar Lo Niskacho. It's unclear. I mean, we don't know what they would say. It's very possible to say either way, that both of them hold Niskadesh and both of them say Lo Niskadesh. The order of how they listed the Midos has nothing to do with Beirutse Midos. That's not the nafkamina between the two of them. They're arguing about the pasuk that says in Shneim Mileim Solos that they're both full of souls. How to understand the word Mileim in the pasuk? This is by the Parshas Nesim. Man Da'amar Milamal Lamata, the one that holds that lists the midos from the highest, the largest shear to the smallest shear. Kesavar is of the opinion that Mileim Shel Yechzar Velo Shel Yosir. That means it should be exactly the amount that has to be Mileim. It shouldn't be any less. It shouldn't be any more. It should be exactly the way it is. And Man Damar Mimata Lamala, the one that counts from the bottom to the top, Mileim means Shelo Yechzar Yechaser. It shouldn't miss anything. Aval Yosir Mileim Krinabe. But you are allowed to add on as well. The way it's understood is that when you take from a smaller shear and add into a bigger shear, a person might be choshish that he lost some of it along the way, so he might add in some as well. So therefore, the machlokas is, are you allowed to have extra? Everyone agrees you can't have less than that. But does a melee mean it can't be more than that? It has to be, there's a threshold? Or no, you can add in as much as you want, and that's going to be based on how they list the order of the midos from top to bottom, bottom to top, will indicate whether or not they allow there to be a more than the shear or not more than the shear. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Amar Mar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Hayasham Hin. So he said that there's no Hin in the base of Mikdash, because remember, Hin was only used for the Shemana Mishcha during the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's no longer necessary anymore. And therefore, he says there has to be a different measurement. So the Gemara comments on the statement of Rabbi Shimon, Shapir Kamar Lahu Rabbi Shimon L'Rabbanim. Rabbi Shimon said something that's quite sensible, that why would you have a Hin in the base of Mikdash if it wasn't used for anything? You're just sitting there picking up dust and getting all rusty. So Rabbanan, have a hin, David Moshe, l'shemen hamishcha. What do you mean? Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu use the hin? Dichsev v'shemen zayit hin. He used that measurement. and they said, Mar Savar Kevin Diladoris Lohavitzarech Lefishahi Davdu Iganis. So Rabbi Shimon holds that since it was used only one time and was no longer necessary, they took it and were put in Geniza. You don't need it. But Idach Rabban respond back, Kevin Dehava, Hava, once Moshe Rabbeinu used it, we leave it there forever, even though it may have been only there for decoration. It was only there just to be showcased. Still, that why we keep it the way it was, even though it's no longer necessary. And that's the machlokas. So Amar Mar, the Gemara says, we said earlier, Rabbi Shimon says, since there wasn't the hin of the Shemen HaMishcha, he had to find a seventh midah, a replacement. So the Gemara says, why does he have to find a replacement? V'esmi avi tachtav, he says, which one will I replace it with? Lo sagi dilamayel, it wouldn't be enough if it didn't come in, meaning why did he have to have seven in the first place? Why did he have to try to find a seventh midah? So Gemara says, Kadama Ravina, Ravina taught us that Gemiri, we have a certain tradition from Halach al Moshe Misinai, that Shtei Smichos B'tzibur, that we have a tradition that there are two Smichos that we do in a carbon tzibur. We have to figure out which two carbonos. That's a different context. Talking about something completely different. We say by Parhel Davar and the Sarha Mishaleach, Rashi tells us. So those two are the two Smichos. Because we have a tradition, two Smichos. Which one? The Gemara figured out which ones. So Hachanami, here as well, we have a Gemir, we have a Halach al Moshe Misinai, the Sheva Midos, the Shalach Hayu B'Mikdash. Everyone agrees that there is a tradition that there are seven Midos. We have to just try to figure out which are the seven Midos. And for that reason, once Rabbi Shimon removed the Hin, because it was no longer necessary, and he had to find a seventh Midah that's going to fill up the this Halach al Moshe Misinai that we have, this tradition. And then the Gemara quotes, we had from the Mishnah yesterday that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzedek Omer, Shnosos Hayubahim. He found that there weren't different measuring cups. It was all one large measuring cup, but they had different lines etched in to up until here is the par and the aisle and the keves. So the Gemara says, V'lesle Sheva Midos. Didn't we just say above that there was a tradition that everyone had that there were seven Midos? So how come he only has one Midah? So the Gemara says, Lesle, he doesn't have such a tradition. So this is interesting because famously the Rambam points out that everything that is halacha Moshe Misinai, there's no such machlokas on a halacha the Moshe Misinai. So here we see that there's a machlokas. So the understanding is that what that means is that they could argue about whether or not something is halacha Moshe Misinai. That would be fine. But if you accept it as halacha Moshe Misinai, there's never going to be machlokas about that detail once you accept it. Rabbi Elazar didn't accept it as halacha Moshe Misinai, and therefore he was allowed to have just one keli with different lines on the measuring cup. Alternatively, the Gemara suggests, Ibais Eima, My Sheva Midos, Sheva Mididos. The tradition wasn't that there had to be seven different cups. There were seven measurements, meaning you could have one cup with seven measurements on them, and that was the tradition. And therefore, since this one jug or one measuring cup had seven different lines, this was considered a fulfillment of the tradition of there being seven Midos in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, the Gemara now continues, the Mishnah continues with halachas, all these technical halachas about the different shiurim that were in the Beis HaMikdash. So one of the things listed, one of the seven midos lach were the revius. What was the revius log, the quarter of a log, what was that used for? And the Mishnah explains, meha yisam eshamesh, what was the purpose of the revius log? It was revius maim limitsor. The pasuk tells us when you had the process of being mitaher, the mitzora, so you check the bird and you place it into klicheres of ma'im chayim. So how much ma'im chayim do you need? So the Gemara learns has to be a revius ma'im, revius log. So that's why you use a measuring cup to get a revius of water for the taras and mitzora. It was also used, the revius shemen lenazir. When the nazir brings his tara, his final karbanos, he brings a bunch of matzahs and challahs, and he has some shemen there as well. How much shemen does he bring? He brings the revius log, which is measured by this particular measuring cup. Then the Mishnah wants to know, what about the chatzi log, mahaya mashamish? What would they use the measuring cup that measured out a chatzi log? That was chatzi log mayim lesota. When it came to the halachas lesota, that it mixed together the Megillah Sota in the water, so that they used a chatzi log, which was measured by this midah. And it was also used the chatzi log shemen letoda. The carbon toda, which brought the four different types of breads, so the total of 40 of them. So you had to have shemen that was mixed together. We discussed this before. So they had to have measure out a chatzi log of shemen that was used for the carbon toda. And below, what about a full log? What was that used for? Hayamode lechol menachos. Every one of the menachos had an isaron of solas and had to have an accompanying it a log of shemen, so that was used for the standard mincha. Afilu mincha shel shisha isaron. Let's say a person who took a neder upon a ned and the dava or neder upon himself to take a large mincha. He's bringing a mincha that's 60 esronim, which is pretty big. No sin la shishim log. He has to measure out 60 log. There has to be a ratio of one log of a shemen per one isaron of solas. That's according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Eliezer, remember, and there was no log, there was no sixth measuring, there's no measuring cup of 60 log. You had to do one log of a shemen 60 different times to get the 60 log needed for that large mincha. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, afilu mincha shel shishim isaron, ein le'ela luga. He argued, he said, no, even if you have a huge, you took upon yourself a huge neder, a huge nedava to bring a mincha the size of 60 isaron, you don't need 60 log of shemen corresponding to the 60 esronim. Rather, one log of shemen is enough for the large solas. How does he know this? Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, lemincha v'log shemen. Lemincha, any size mincha you bring, all you always need is only just one log shemen. One log shemen is able to accompany even the largest of menachos.
That's for each individual one. In other words, if let's say a person bought two minchas, then he would have to do two log shemen.
Correct. It would be separate minchas and a different thing. He took only one mincha. So then the Mishnah says, Shisha, what was the need for the meat of Shisha? So that was the Arba. We had in the Mishnah that there was a Chatzihin, we had a Shlishin, and a Revisahin. So there was a Shisha Logan. Let's see how you do Shisha Logan. That was Lepar. The purpose of the Par, you need to bring a, we said Chatzihin. So how do you get to a Chatzihin? So you need to measure out six Logan is equal to Chatzihin. That's how it gets, so that's what you need for a Par, apparently. And Arba, you need Arba Logan, which equals a third of a hin, that was used L'ayil. And Shlosha Logan, which equals a revis hin, that's L'kevis. So that's how the Gemara explains, the Mishnah explains, rather, how you get to the different measurements using the measurements of a log. So then the Mishnah concludes saying, Shlosha U'mechza, you need three log and a half, 3.5 log of oil, L'menorah. Chatzi log L'cholner. So they're just telling how many total measurements do you need. When it comes to menorah, you need a total of 3.5 log, half a log for each menorah. So half a log times seven, ends up being 3.5 log. So again, you measure it out using half a log of oil for each menorah, totaling 3.5 total shemen used. So that's the Mishnah of these measurements of the half a log and full log and revis of a log. So Gemara now says at the very bottom of Amun Aleph here, Yosef Rabbi the Kakashile. He was sitting down learning once, and he had the following question. Revis lama nimshecha. When it comes to the midah of revis, so all of these different midos were niskadesh with oil, so that when you put whatever you're putting in, that becomes kadosh. We know that a kli shares has the ability to mekadesh that which is within it. So the halach is that all the measuring cups were kadosh with oil. They measure, they anointed with oil, so it becomes a klisharis, and anything that goes in it becomes kadosh now. So Rebbe's wondering, why did the revius measurement require any type of nimshecha? Why did it have to have the din of a klisharis? As we're going to see, whatever goes in there has a different way of becoming kadosh. Meaning I could use a klichol for whatever I'm measuring of a revius, because it doesn't have to be mekadosh that which goes in, because that which goes in has another way of being kadosh. Let's see. Revius lama nimshecha, e lemitzora. If you tell me, because when you place the water of the mitzora in the revius, the measurement of revius to make the mayim kadosh, so it says chutzu. It doesn't the whole process of the mitzora take place outside? You don't need to be mekadosh the water, so there's no need to have a klisharis. So leave the revius as a regular chulin kli. Vinaz, if you tell me you need the revius to be niskadosh, so that it can make the oil that's used for the nazir, so that shemen becomes kadosh. So the Gemara says, lechem nazir b'shchitas ayil hu de kadosh. So you don't need the revius to make the oil. That's going to mean it's kadosh for when you shech the animal. When you shech the animal, the ayil for the nazir, that makes the lechem kadosh, and the shemen becomes kadosh as well. You don't have to have the revius to become kadosh, to make it kadosh. So what's the need to make the midah revius into a klisharis? So Amar Leih Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya says, Sheba haya moded lechavite kohen gadol. We know every single day that the kohen gadol would bring in the morning the solas and the shemen. So revi shemen l'chalchala v'chala. So when he'd take the oil, it'd be separated. We said, remember in the morning, half of the morning of the oil would be separated into six different chalas. So each chala had a revius of shemen. So they had to use that revius for the oil that was ultimately used for the chalas of the chavite kohen gadol. So revius shemen l'chalchala v'chala, kari Allah, so that was the answer. And that for that reason, you have to be miskadesh, the shemen in the revius, and therefore they had to make the revius kli into a kli sharis for that purpose. So the Gemara said, kari Allah, they refer to Rabbi Chia, me'eretz merchak isha tasi. Rabbi Chia came from Babel to Eretz Israel. They said a person from far away came from the distant land to give us eitza to explain pshat here in this Gemara. The Gemara then says, chatzi log ma'ayam mishamish, quoting from the Mishnah that a chatzi log was used for the purpose of the sota waters and the purpose of the shemen for the carbon toda. So Yossi Rebbe was learning this Mishnah of a kokashale, and he had the following question, a similar question to what we asked above. Chatzi log lama nimshach. That kli mida, that mida that was used to chatzi log, why did that have to become a nimshach with the shemen hamishcha? Why did that have to become a kli sharis? E sota, if it was to make the waters of the sota into kadosh, that's why we needed the mida to be kadosh. Were the waters that were collected for the Mei Sota, were those waters a chulin that need to become kadosh in this klisharis? No, they were mayim kadosh, the pasuk says. It says in the pasuk, "Lokach hakorin mayim kadosh in klisharis." It already was kadosh. You don't need to put it into a new kli to make it kadosh. The very source, it was kadosh. Ksiv, it says in the pasuk, because we get it from the kiur. Any water that comes from the kiur, by definition, is kadosh. So you don't have to make a kadosh again by putting into a kli sharis. So you don't have to make that chatzilog into a kli sharis. It could be a chulin kli. He told, if you're telling me, because when he placed the oil that was used for the carbon toda, that oil has to become kadosh by putting into its kli sharis. No, that too doesn't need the kli sharis to make the oil kadosh. Lach me toda b'shchitas toda hu dekachi. When you shech the animal for the carbon toda, that makes the bread and all the oil as well into kedusha. You don't need to place it into a new kli to make the shemen kadosh. So what's the need again to make the chatzi log, that kli, nimshcha b'shemen mishcha, to make it into a kli sharis? So Amalei Rabbi Shimon Rebbe, so Rabbi Shimon told his father Rebbe, that shebo hayu mechalik chatzi log shemen l'chol ner v'ner. When they bring all the oil, they'd use this chatzi log to measure out how much, remember we saw in the Mishnah that was a chatzi log used for each of the candles of the menorah. So they needed it for that. So now by placing it into this kli sharis, that was a chatzi log, that was mekadesh the oil. So therefore that kli had to be a kli sharis to mekadesh the oil, ultimately used for the menorah. So Amar lo, so what does Rabbi say back to his son Rabbi Shimon? Ner Yisrael kachaya. You're a light, into Kleisel. You enlighten us with your wisdom, and that's exactly why they had to make the chatzilog into a klisharis for the purpose of the oil of the menorah. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Ner Shekavsa, what happens after the menorah had extinguished, after, let's say, in the middle of the night or before the sun had come up? So the halach is Nidashin Hashemin, Nidashin Psila. Just like we have to remove the Psila, the wick that becomes now all black and dirty, we also have to remove the remaining oil that's inside and clean it out. So Ketat Huosa, what does he do? Metiva, he cleans the entire Ner, Venosin Bashemin Malika, and then he refills it up with the oil and lights it. So that's the process of it. If the light, the candles go out early. So Yossi Rabbi Zrika of a coming barley. This time Rabbi Zrika was sitting down, learning this halacha, and he asked the following shaila: Kishu nosin b'shemen, when he places oil into the candle that the light, the flame went out early, kimida rishona, does he place in a full chatzi log just like initially before the night they fill up a chatzi log? So here as well, now it's at 2 o'clock in the morning, the fire goes out. Do you fill up a full chatzi log at 2 o'clock in the morning? Oh, kamo shechasa, or do you say, oh, it only requires 3 hours of more burning, so only put a half of the chatzi log. You only put a quarter of a log in. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, pshita de kamida rishona. It's obvious that you put in the same shir chatzi log as if you were putting it in the middle in the beginning of the night. Why? The kamashechasa. If you put in only whatever's missing, meaning only to fill, to have it light the remaining part of the night, minayadan maichiser. How does one know how much was missing? How much oil burnt up the rest of the night? It would be impossible to know. And therefore, you have to put up a chatzi log, even though it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
What do you mean? How much? How do you know? You look at the cup. You see if it's half full. Then you know.
You emptied everything out. You cleaned out everything. Everything's empty now. So now it's empty. So now you, how do you know where, what line to fill it up till?
No, I'm saying when it went out. It went out.
If you want to say you should measure out based on what was there, very good. So figure out what was there before you throw out the oil and then measure the difference. Imkain. So then the problem is sheva midos nafishu midas tuvo. So how are you going to measure out? We don't have, let's say it's going to be an awkward measure. So how do you know what measurement that is? We only have seven midos in the base of Mikdash. Now you have to have a countless amount of midos depending on when the fire goes out, which would go against this Masorah that we have of there only being seven measuring cups in the base of Mikdash. So therefore, since we have no way of measuring it, given the utensils available to us in the base of Mikdash, so therefore, we fill up a chatzi log, even though it might be 2 o'clock in the morning, and kari Allah. This is a very nice, this Gemara, this whole daf here is just giving everyone like very nice praises each time a person gives a very nice answer. So the Gemara says, Kari Allah, they refer to Rabbi Yirmiya, V'hadarcha tzlach recha v'advar emes v'anava tzedek. That somehow your success in learning, the tzlacha, because you ride upon emes, you trust the truth, and you're a very humble individual. Okay, excellent.
Wasn't it an isra of doing something that you know is going to be turned out for sure?
Bring to base a psul, a srefa?
Because for sure you won't use the full
meaning. Meaning because once the next morning comes and goes out, so you end up going to burn it.
Yeah.
It could be that it's makam iyesha. It could be in general, you're right, we don't want to bring something to the base of psul,
right.
But since it's the case, but makam iyesha, we have no other choice. Here. Not sure. So then the Gemara says, Itmar Nami was said also, Amar Rabbi Abohu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Amrila, others say, Amar Rabbi Abba Abba, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi. Ner Shekavsa, a candle that went out, Nidashen Hashemen, Nidashen Apsilo, you have to remove the oil and remove the wick. Kate said also, what do? Metiva, you clean it out. Venosin Bashemen, Kemida Rishono Malika. So this is a clear statement that you fill up the way you filled up in the beginning of the night. You would fill up the same exact way if it took place in the middle of the night. So Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shesh says, Ner Shebemikdash shall prakum hava. Explains that the candles in the menorah in the base of Mikdash was made of prakim, and the way it's explained here, Rashi says it was made in such a way where it was able to bend it over. It was I don't know how to explain this in that, but it was very soft metal and piece where you could kind of bend it down in order to fix them, as opposed to the aro, the kohen having to climb up top and clean it. You could bend them down in such a way where you could clean it and then put them back up. Kassavar, so it could be the way it was soft or something.
Very pure,
right. So Gemara says Kassavar, they hold that kiksiv kikaru miksha amenorva nerose ksiv. So the miksha that if you had to be miksha that the kikar zav tar yase osa that miksha tasa menorah, the one unit, one piece of gold that was said about the menorah and even about the neros, even the candles on top had to all be connected from one piece of gold. And kaven demibay hatava, since it had to be cleaned and fixed up, ilav the prakim havalei lo havim mitayvalei. If it wasn't made a prakim, it wasn't made in such a soft way where it's bendable, so then you wouldn't be able to clean it properly, and therefore they had to make them very flimsy, very thin at the top, the gold very thin, to make it very bendable. As you're saying, I'm not sure anyone has been to the that museum in Bar Park. Living Torah Museum. So he shows you, like, if it's like very fine gold, you could bend the gold. It's very flimsy. So the gold here was made in such a way that was flimsy enough where you could, I guess, kind of bend it, clean it, and then bend it right back into place. That's what I think is being described here.
By the Churba, somebody donated a menorah, a Russian guy, I think one of the wealthiest guys, exactly like the Machmah Mikdash, done with pure gold.
What, is it bendable? You didn't touch it. Probably
in
a glass case.
It seems because they did it in the exact same measurements and everything. Uh-huh. Exactly what they hold it is. It's right by
I'm curious to know how thin it is or not. We'll see if that's the halacha.
Right by the Churba, yeah.
Okay.
It's not that tall, 18th Bakken.
Yeah, it's not very tall.
No, I was surprised that it wasn't.
Yes, you don't really need stairs for that either. So there are three steps in front. But the Gemara now says, Mesive. So they asked the following question. Ketadosa, how would they clean the menorah, the neros? Misalkan, they would remove the neros, not bend it. They'd remove them, umanichan ba'oel, and place it in the base of Migdash. Umekanchan besfog, they'd use some type of sponge to clean out the oil. Venosan ben shemen and malikan, put new oil in, relight them. So you see clearly that the neros were not connected to the menorah. You could detach them from the menorah itself. The Gemara says, "Hu damar ki aitana." He holds like the following tana, the sign of the Brisa teaches us that Chachamim Omrim lo hayu mezizin also Mimkoma. They hold like a different Tana that you're not able to move them, meaning that it was all connected. You couldn't detach them. So our Brisa above, in other words, holds that it was all one unit, all Miksha Achas, and therefore you couldn't move them. And the Brisa we just brought now, the Meisaveh, felt that they was detachable, that the Miksha Achas was only going on the menorah itself, the base, but the Neiros on top that held the wicks and the oil was not attached to it and was therefore detachable. So the Gemara says, now, Mechlal, does this imply, we said above, that they wouldn't maneuver, they would not maneuver, move the menorah. They leave the menorah as is. Lohay mezizin also. So can we make the following inference? Mechlal, does this imply, the ibayle la'azuze mati mezizle? It sounds like that if they wanted to, they would in fact be able to. Then we say above again that even though it's miksha achas, they didn't do it, but in theory they could have. So the Gemara says, Ella Ema Lohaya Zazamim Koma. They're telling us no, they couldn't move it at all, because since the Neiros were attached to the menorah, therefore and the menorah couldn't be taken out of the place, so Mimela you can't take the Neiros either because the Neiros were all attached to the menorah. So Gemara wants to know, Man Chacham, who are the Chachamim that we're referring to above? So Gemara says it must be Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, who? Detanya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, Omer, Kimin Tas, Shazov Hayala Al Gaba. On top of each of the Neiros in the menorah, there's a little gold cover that was placed there. You have a little hole inside, and there's a little picture here. We put the wicks inside, so you have the oil. Imagine our menorah cup. So you have the oil and the wick. But then on top, there was actually a cover on top of the oil, and the wick went right through. You know those floating wicks you have in the menorah? So it's kind of like that, it seemed, where there's a cover on top of the oil, and the wick went right through in the center. And when it says, Kishu Metiva, when they had to clean out the nair, the oil and the wick, Docho, they'd move this little covering over to the side, Klapi Pia, to the opening area, and move it out of the way to be able to clean it. And Kishu Nosin Bashemen, and when they would put add oil in, they docho l'klapi rosho, they'd push off to the side as well in order to refill the oil. So we see from all this, though, it sounds like it was all connected. The nairs were all connected. They just had a special cover, but they wouldn't remove the candle. They just slide over the top, refill it, and slide it back over. And the Gemara says, this discussion here about whether or not the nairs were connected to the menorah itself or not, it was a pluk to the honey tonight. It was really, even though we had a machlokas and a ramabava and a bunch of brisas, it's really the following machlokas tonight we have in this brisa. The Tanya. Menorah v'neirosel bos mina kikar. That both the menorah itself and the candles, the place where you place the oils, were all from one kikar. It was all miksha achas. Vein malkachea u'machtosem mina kikar. But the various utensils and kalim used to clean out the neiros were not from one kikar. They came from other gold. Rabbi Nechemya Omer, menorah ha'isa ba min ha'kikar. He felt that the menorah, the base itself, and all the different branches, came from one kikar, one piece of gold. However, velo neirosea u'malkachea machtosea ba'os min ha'kikar. But the candles, along with the other kalim that were there to help the menorah's usage, those did not come from the same kikar. So we see a clear machlokas tanaim, whether the neirosea were from the same kikar or not from the same kikar. So, what's a machlokas here? Bhaikra, they're arguing about how to understand the pasuk here, whether or not the neiros are going to be part of the miksha achas or not. The Brisa tells us that kikar zov tor yase osa. You're supposed to make the menorah from a pure piece of gold, a kikar zov tor. Lemanu to teach us, le menorah sheba mina kikar, that the menorah comes from this kikar, this one large piece of gold. Minayin le rabos neiroseha. How do you know that even the candles, where the oil and wick go in, should also be from that same kikar? Tamalomar, eis ka kalim ha'ela. That extra phrase includes even the neiros as well, comes from the same miksha achas. Yachal shani, one might think, mar ba'af mal kachel machtoseh. One may think they even include these different pans that were used to clean out the menorah, that should also come from one kikar. Tamalomer osa, only it, to the exclusion of Malkochea, Machtosea, those do not come from the same kikar. That's Divrei Rabbi Nechemya. So Gemara says, wait a second, didn't we just say above that Rabbi Nechemya was the second opinion that felt that the Neiros were not part of the Miksha Achas? We just said this two lines above. So Kasha, the Rabbi Nechemya, the Rabbi Nechemya. So Gemara says, Trei Tanai Aliba the Rabbi Nechemya. There is a Machlokas Tanai, what Rabbi Nechemya's opinion is. But certainly there is a Machlokas, whether or not the Neiros were part of the menorah or not, and it depends on how to read the pasuk. So comes along now Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, who argues on Rabbi Nechemya. How does he learn the pasuk? So he says, Omer, it says, menorah, ba mina kikar, the menorah, the branches and the base come from one kikar. However, the pans and the candles do not come from the same kikar. So then, how does he learn that drasha? Isn't that extra phrase coming to include something? So he says, Shehayu Kalim shows up to tell us that they come from gold, but doesn't mean they come from the same piece of gold as the menorah. And that's how he understands the pasuk. So Gemara says, you need to tell me the pasuk Eiskal came Me'ela to tell me that they come from gold. Zav Behedyuksibo. This is the first pasuk that tells us they have to come from gold. It says, Vasisa Esnerosa Shiva Vehela Esnerosa Veheir El Aver Panel Umakacha Machtosa Zav Tower. This is the first pasuk that tells us they're gold. You don't need a special drasha to teach me that. So again, what does Rabbi Nechemya do with the phrase Ve'es Eiskal Kalim Ha'ela? So Gemara answers, Lo Nitzcha Ela Lefi Neros. Sakadaita Chamina Hol V'Pineros Ashchui Meshchar HaTorah Chasa Mamonam Shel Yisrael Labid Zav Kol Dehu Kamashulan. No. So what happens here is that no, we know the Malkochem Achtaseh, those Vav, they come from Zav Torah. But the candles, there's a Havamim to think, since the candles that are holding the wick and the oil end up getting burnt and end up blackening the gold and ruining the gold, one may think a person should not make it of the purest of gold. Maybe just a little bit of a Zav would be sufficient. Kamash Malan, that you have to use Zav Torah, the purest, the finest of gold is even needed for the Neros. And that's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha learns from the pasuk of the Ace Kol HaKelim Ha'ela. But in terms of coming from the same Kikar, Rabbi Yeshua holds it does not come from the same Kikar. It's something that can be detached from the menorah itself.